Like for my partner, the famous artist Birdie Rose.
Did
She,
she tell you to say the full name, by the way?
well, you have to. Yeah, it's in the
Yeah, she
contract.
tells me that as
Every time you have to say the whole thing, otherwise
well.
there's no point. But she identifies as famous,
Yeah.
and she but basically she got involved in the whole. I mean, you know this because you've chatted to her before, but
Yeah.
she got into the whole I don't know, I never know how best to describe it, but like the trans debate as the only
Yeah.
one probably figure it out, because every time I mention it, I just get everyone having go, no, you shouldn't have said that. That's the worst thing anyone could ever be. But she got she basically she done some. We had a couple of things with us, but some of it was a bit more people we thought were friends, and that changed. But the big thing was she started to draw over lockdowns. She got an iPad, and she was something she'd been after for ages. But we would always not have quite enough money. But at that point, we just thought, okay, we'd just get it. So she got somewhere to do her digital work, and she drew some basically drew a bunch of women that she liked, which is like Magdalene Burns and J.K. Rowling, and all the people on the little festival circuit where we want, like not all of them, but a lot of people. They went. Just thought it was the worst thing in the world anyone could do, and just because Birdie knows what a woman
It
is,
is now.
and they kind of really just went mad at her. And I mean, the everyone was isolated and everyone was being a bit mad anyway. But I think we got But I had a lot of people since haven't they don't wouldn't want to be on a bill with me. I've got festivals I used to play all the time. Don't I have anything to do with me anymore? I've got musicians, which probably won't reply to my emails anymore. It's been a bit mad. I can't quite describe what's happened. It feels a bit weird. I can't. It just doesn't feel with stuff. But I've had it a few times where, like fairly recently, I had a venue not far from here that I got pulled off the bill because of, I think he said like 10 people or something emailed to say that I shouldn't play because of what Birdie is saying. Which is just weird, isn't it? Because it's not even what I'm saying. It's
Yeah.
what my missus is saying. But yeah, I've had our festivals like pull out of it, and it's kind of made me feel a bit wonky with it all about whether I can, because every step is like a fight at the moment just to get a gig to do something and not have someone try and take it away from us.
Hello there, everyone. Welcome to the World of Momo's podcast. And on this segment of Reflections and Reactions, this time we have my friend Doozer, the musician, with us. And what we're going to do in this episode is we're going to ask him about his story, but about himself and stuff. And then we're going to touch upon different subjects relating to the problems that we are seeing with advanced wokeness into the music industry and how it's destroying it from within and taking the spirit out of the music industry itself. And as you can see behind me as well, I've stopped bothering with my black backdrop now, so you can see all my messy things that I used to hide, my cricket bat, my that cricket kit that I haven't used for a while now, this fan that I will be using soon, some letters back and whatnot. I used to hide them with a black backdrop, but you know what, I can't be bothered anymore with that. So so let's just go ahead with it. And how are you, Doozer? How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Yeah, not too bad. You doing all right?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Doing good as I can be.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but you know, I'm going to be 38 soon, so
Oh, blimey.
feeling a bit depressed about my age.
I won't worry about it. Nothing you can do about it. The fact
Yeah.
you are is always incredible.
So we're going to start with like giving give us a bit of a snapshot of who you are. And also, like, I really like his music, and I'll put up the link over here for the Spotify link so people do check it out, Doozer's music.
I'm Doozer McDooz. It's obviously not my real name. My real name's actually Paul, but it's a nickname I got from probably like 25 years ago, and it's just stuck forever. I ever since I basically learned to play guitar, it's taken me to lots of places and doing lots of things, and I've been involved with probably most aspects of the music industry from that. I once had a my own van touring company, and I was taking bands on tour and doing all that side of stuff, and then putting on gigs, but also playing gigs and stuff. But the most fairly recent thing was not fairly recent, it's about 10, 12 years ago. I met the famous artist Birdie Rose. She wasn't quite as famous then, but we basically got on really well, and we just talked about maybe like just heading off and trying to see if we can live off of music and art. And at the time, I was starting to do a lot of festivals of kind of find a way in. Half the time it was like literally breaking into the festival and then finding somewhere to play. And yeah, so it felt like a good idea. We bought a camper van and went on tour, and that was for 7 years until the lockdowns all happened. And after, I don't know, everything went a bit mad after the lockdowns, basically. So yeah,
How did you find those 7 years?
it was a lot of it's a blur, to be honest. I've got to be fair, but it was really, really good. There's one thing me and Birdie realise how like strong we are as a couple is that we've managed to survive in such a small space together. But our garden was always massive, and it was always somewhere to go, and it was just constantly moving from one place to the next place. There's certain creature comforts you lose from that side of stuff, but yeah, it was definitely an experience, one hell of one. Yeah, just managed to live off our music and art for like 7 years and just doing our own thing, really.
That's amazing, isn't it? Because that freedom that you have, sort of like exploring the indie space as well, you don't really get like when you're attached to something. When you must have felt that now, like once you start getting mortgage and stuff like that, you start getting different sort of responsibilities or like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it was just it was basically we set our whole life up like in the camper van. We had about three of them over the whole time, but the last one we had like a wood burner in it. It was full kitchen in it. We could do everything. We had absolutely everything we needed, and everywhere we went, we could go. And it was a lot of the case. It was going from festival to festival, and then some gigs in between. Or someone say, "Do you want to come here and check out this place?" And we'd do some gigs and do stuff. Yeah, just go and do it. And yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, and it detaches you like from the material aspects of things as well, I guess. Like, you know, you focus more on, you know, what you actually like doing.
Yeah, massively. It's even with cutting the cost of like having somewhere to pay rent on and that sort of stuff, and just living in the van, the cost of just moving the thing is it that's what most of the money went on, was getting to the next place. But yeah, it was quite. I liked having little, not very much stuff, and on the road, it kind of it was good. I like what we've got now as well. So
Yeah.
it's just.
So, for people who might not know, like, can you tell them like what kind of music that you actually do?
Right. I'm basically a one bloke with a guitar and a stomp box and singing, and that's what I did live. And it's very kind of folky but punky at the same time. I'm from Essex, and I sing in an Essex accent, and all my songs are just about stuff that's going on in my head with life, the universe, and everything, really. But yeah, I also play around with different sounds as well. But it's I don't know, I've been liking to like Injury, I've been liking to Billy Bragg, I've been liking to who else, like The Streets as well, and that kind of, I don't know, English thing. I don't know. I've never, I'm that's why I make sounds, because I can't describe them in words. So yeah.
What has so we want to explore like what has happened, right? Like the element within the music industry that has been very disturbing for a lot of people, the pointless control that we have and stuff, and just sort of like taking the livelihood and the freedom of expression is what it's at stake for me, like over here. It doesn't matter whether I agree or disagree with a person, but you know, is their freedom to express themselves however they want to. And if you don't like it, just don't consume their product that they're putting out rather than that. But
Cool.
also like the people within the industry that has been attacking you and Birdie and the rift that they're trying to create as well. So that's like I want to explore that a bit.
That's all right, yeah. So like my partner, the famous artist Birdie Rose,
Did
she
she tell you to say the full name, by the way?
well, you have to, yeah, it's in the
Yeah, she
contract.
tells me that
Every time you have to say the whole thing, otherwise
as
There's no point, but yeah, she identifies as famous, and she but basically she got involved in the whole. I mean, you know this because you've chatted to her before, but she got into the whole. I don't know, and I never know how best to describe it, but like the trans debate, as the other probably figure it out, because every time I mention it, I just get everyone having going, "Oh, you shouldn't have said that. That's the worst thing anyone could ever be." But she got she basically she done some. We had a couple of things with us, but some of it was a bit more people we thought were friends, and that changed. But the big thing was she started to draw over lockdowns. She got an iPad, and she was something she'd been after for ages. But we would always not have quite enough money. But at that point, we just thought, okay, we'd just get it. So she got somewhere to do her digital work, and she drew some basically she drew a bunch of women that she liked, which is like Magdalene Burns and J.K. Rowling, and all the people on. The little festival circuit where we were on, like not all of them, but a lot of people, they went just thought it was the worst thing in the world anyone could do, and just because Birdie knows what a woman
It
is,
is now.
yeah, and they kind of really just went mad at her, and I mean, where everyone was isolated and everyone was being a bit mad anyway, but I think we got yeah, but I had a lot of people since haven't. They wouldn't want to be in a bill with me. I've got festivals I used to play all the time. Don't I have anything to do with me anymore? I've got musicians, which probably won't reply to my emails anymore. Yeah, it's been a bit mad. I can't quite describe what's happened. It feels a bit weird. I can't. It just doesn't feel real with stuff. But I've had it a few times where, like fairly recently, I had a venue not far from here. I got pulled off the bill because of, I think he said like 10 people or something emailed to say that I shouldn't play because of what Birdie is saying, which is just weird, isn't it? Because it's like it's not even what I'm saying; it's what my missus is saying. But yeah, I've had our festivals like pull out of it, and it's kind of made me feel a bit wonky with it all about whether I can, because every step is like a fight at the moment just to get a gig, to do something, and not have someone try and take it away from us. Yeah.
Have it's disappointing when it's within arts, because I've felt it for a very long time. But it's not unnatural for it to be in the arts, like this sort of dogmatic sort of thing, because it has the left side of thinking, or just one side of political thinking
Yeah.
has been there for a very long time. But is from my own personal experiences, it was always like people had room to discuss or say things or take whatever positions they wanted within the arts,
Yeah,
right?
of
And it
course.
was never sort of like, oh, because this person thinks like that, we're going to destroy his livelihood, or we even going to destroy his personal relationship and all that crap. That is very disturbing. That it's not coming from, let's say, the man. It's coming from the people themselves who are trying to police each other.
Artists and stuff have kind of, yeah, it's weird because I thing is I kind of saw thinking about looking back on it all, I kind of saw all this stuff coming along really, and like people like you, I've seen it before. If like a good reputation is hard to keep hold of, but a bad one spread around so quickly, and everyone would go, yeah, and I've seen it happen quite a lot, and because I'm literally from like the lot of the festivals are kind of well within the anarchist like the far left sort of space, but I never thought it would happen to us, and especially over what really is what Birdie's talking about, because it's all the stuff she's talking about is quite logical and thought out. She knows what she's talking about. She's not just attacking people for the fun of it, which is seems to be
I
what
mean, they
I
seem to be doing
think.
that for the fun of it.
Sorry?
They seem to be attacking you guys for the fun of it,
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. I don't know really. It's
I mean, it's just the thing is, like, even if it wasn't something so logical, so like based in basic reality that we should all know about a man being a man and a woman being a woman, that we have known for centuries and centuries and centuries. Otherwise, we would not survive as a species. But even let's say,
Yeah, very long, yeah.
even let's say, if, even if it wasn't that simple, even if it was something complex or something like that, I just. Because the arts world, people are supposed to be more open-minded or that was the perception, used to be more open-minded, and you would say, like, there's room for people of different thoughts to coexist, and it has always been like that, or at least my experience was like that. Why do you think, like, is it just a society that has become like that, that people have become more dogmatic, or it's just people have lost their actual purpose and they're trying to cling on to something, and they found, or they made a new religion in wokeness?
I think it's a lot of those things. A lot of things. I mean, it's the accessibility of being able to communicate on the internet with, like, you know, without any repercussions of what you're doing. You know, you can say whatever you want to someone and then turn your phone off, and then there's nothing really going to change your life at all, unless they come round. But I think there is a lot, because with the whole religion thing, I grew up, when I was going to school, it was all like you sung hymns first thing in the morning, all that is broken down throughout my lifetime. It's just all broken down, and it's not the same. What was? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I've no idea, but it's. I think people are looking for something, and I think there's a lot of people who, especially around this stuff, there's a lot of people who want to be a good person and do good things, but they can do it in a way that's quite malicious at the same time. And I think people get a taste for that, but they feel like they're doing it for the right purpose, you know, to be good. But there's also other people who aren't. It's a massive subject. It's just more to think about.
It's messy, isn't it? It's not just that it's messy. I just feel like it's so unnecessary. Like, we could be doing so many things. You could be doing your music without restraint and stuff.
Yeah.
Exploring ideas within the music, you know, within your music and stuff, with your lyrics and stuff, how you expressing yourself. I could be reading my books, writing my books and stuff that. You know, there's so many stuff that we could be doing rather than having to reassert basic realities. That's what pisses me off.
Because it's left me feeling like I remember thinking this as well, but before I was always so sure of myself. Like, I'd go to a festival, I'd be everyone's friend, I'd go do my thing, everyone would have a brilliant time, and that was it. But it, all this stuff has made it all a bit, just a bit wonky, and it's just a bit not sure if I want to trust people that bit's being mad.
That's so bad, isn't it? What without human, that basic human connections and, like, trust with each other, what do we have then?
Exactly. You kind of need it, but I don't know. It's I think people just get latched onto things, and they kind of, I don't know how much of it is the internet kind of winding everyone up on whatever side of whatever discussion that people get involved with. I know this one, if you get involved with the trans thing, it's very difficult to get out of not about talking anything else. Yeah. Kind of get sucked into its own.
And that's the thing as well, that what I find, like, it's gone so extreme that you can't even be somewhat in the middle of it. You know, and an idea, like, is considered revolutionary when you're saying, like, okay, you know, if you're a trans woman, you're actually a man in a dress or whatever, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I understand that you're going through this something, so let me help you with that process, or get proper help with that process to understand, so that you don't harm yourself. And it's like, oh, you're a Nazi. Yeah, but I'm okay. What the hell?
I put up a post just after the gig pulled. I got one of my gigs got pulled, and I just thought I'd say my bit. Just kind of, I don't know. People want to know. Some people might want to know my bit. I don't know what it was. I just thought, you know, I'll just tell you what I think, sort of thing. But what I realised was it didn't matter what I said on there. There was a whole bunch of people. If I just talked about it in the slightest, that would definitely mean I'm a bigot. It would definitely, and that's it. So, you know.
And that's how you get, so this is my problem as well, because sometimes you get sucked into it, then you start playing to the crowd, right? So if one crowd is rejecting you, no matter how much nuance that you're trying to come up with, then the other crowd, like, it's not just music, I mean, like, in general, like on social media.
Of course.
And, you know, then you start playing to that other crowd. And when you start playing to that other crowd, there's a possibility of you going to the extreme and not having that nuance anymore. This is what I hate, because it's pushing us, you know, it's either you're for me or you're against me. Like, there's no middle ground.
I've never thought that. Well, to me, I don't think that's how the world works. It's not.
It's silly.
It's not constant battles, everything. There is common ground to be found with stuff and all the time. It's mad. It's just a bit mad.
Yeah. So, talk to me about how they tried to break you guys up, you and Birdie, and also like what you don't have to go into too much in details in names or anything like that, but just like in general, but also like how did that make you feel? Because that must have had a strain on your relationship, you know.
Yeah. So the first massive problem we had was Birdie got accused of beating up a trans person who was, but there's someone who we had in the van a lot, and we took on tour quite a lot, and then we kind of felt like they were starting to use us, so we just like kind of generally went, we're just going to go without you sort of thing. But anyway, that happened, and there was this, a lot of people thought that that's what Birdie had been violent towards someone, which is not,
Untrue, like
completely,
it's more lighter.
just like what. But when it first like we had the first hassle from people, it was I got like a lot of messages from people telling me, you know, what Birdie's doing is terrible, and it's actually harming people. And I did have to really figure out, it's like, has my missus actually turned evil, and you know, is she really
Extreme.
out to like cause it? Like, I don't think she did. We've been together like for t nearly 10 years at that point. But yeah, so I had to look into it all and just go, oh, right, yeah, she's got a point. But it's just getting messages from people saying, like, you know, either I need to like distance myself from Birdie, or I'm gonna lose my career and everything
How
around
can you even
it.
say that to someone? Like, you know, it's
Yeah.
just the temerity of someone trying to say that, like, go screw yourself, like, what the hell?
Yeah, pretty much. But I did that quite a lot. Well, one of the weird bits for me is because, like, with Birdie, she's gone full steam ahead with all this stuff, and her audience is like so much bigger than it's ever been, and she's doing her thing. But for me, it's like, I send out my mailing list, and then I don't do it that often, just whenever I've got a single coming out or something, and I always have some subscribes, and when I see it's people I know and people I've, you know, sat around campfires with and that sort of thing. You're like, all right, okay, but I totally think what Birdie's doing is bad.
Evil, like,
Yeah. He's just, yeah.
what did this is really hard, right? To have that from strangers is something else, right?
Yeah.
Because I have that from strangers because I speak against Islam and stuff like that. Being an ex-Muslim, like, even at work, I've been investigated to be being Islamophobic, you know.
Okay. All right.
While I'm an ex-Muslim, and I was trying to argue against Muslims wanting to kill me for being an ex-Muslim, so that makes me an Islamophobe, right? So you have the you have to juggle those things. Like, what the hell are you even talking about?
Talking about.
You know, coming from strangers, even though it's hard, you know, but you can deal with it somehow. Coming from anonymous accounts, whatever, you can ignore them.
Yeah.
Coming from known accounts, but still strangers, it hurts, but it's fine. But from the people that you thought were your friends,
Yeah.
and who have known not just you, but both of you together, who know that about your relationship, who know that you're happy in your relationship and stuff like that, to try to do that, to try to manipulate you emotionally as well, like, say, oh, like, you know, you're a nice guy, she's evil, you know, you just leave her and you'll be fine, like, you know, she's just gone mental and stuff like that. That
Yeah.
must, like, that feeling must have been, I don't know how I would handle it.
No, I mean it was proper tough, but it was, the thing is though, if like I think if that just happened, that's one thing. But at the same time, like, all the lockdowns happened, so I was basically made illegal, because like there was no gatherings, and that was my business, gatherings, going to gatherings and performing, and so everything stopped and was just that. So it was it's proper double whammy on all that, really. It was, but it's proper tough. It was really proper tough. But I don't know, me and Birdie kind of got through it. We just kind of,
What did you learn from it, like, when it comes to relationships and friends and stuff?
I think for me, I'm a lot I was a lot more open for a long time with literally everything, my aspects of my life. Like, you know, if someone was learning to play guitar, I'd walk up, especially at festivals, I'd come sit down with you and play some stuff. And I'd offer gigs up to people and try and help people all the time. And just try, yeah, but I think I'm a bit more like I keep people a bit further away than I did before. It just seems like self-preservation, to be honest.
But isn't that a sad thing?
Yeah, it
It's
doesn't
not
feel
in your nature,
correct.
because it's not in my nature as well. Like, I'm pretty open like that as well.
Yeah.
I'll befriend anyone, and like, you know, but in your space as well, the problem with your space is like your space is inhabited a lot by people, you know, who are a bit know what I
Yeah, there's yeah, well, it's that
mean?
world,
They're
really.
just prone to those ideas more. That's what I actually mean. Like, they're prone to ideas more, and this is what I hate, that other people who are just looking for their own self-interest will promote such ideas because it gives them that like attention-seeking cachet, like, you know, and they can use
Yeah,
that.
of course. Yeah, there is a, I think that does happen a lot. It's I think a lot of people don't think things through either. They just see the, it's all about buzzwords, isn't it? It's kind of like not really thinking about what any of that actually means.
Did you ever think like venues would cancel gigs because they would send bloody emails from unknown
No,
people?
not at all. I mean, I think it's happened a few times. I mean, for me, it's kind of, it's mainly, I haven't been pushing doing the gigs as much, partly because of that, partly because of being in one place, and then also the music industry took a massive hit generally with like what's happened over the past few years. But the first time that I got it, it felt really bad for, I don't know, just not to be moany or whatever, but I got basically got booked for this festival, and it felt like, oh, okay, because it was in that scene and in that world, and I was like, oh, if I'm playing that, then maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's just a few people
Yeah, just
doing
some
their bit.
people.
And then, like 2 weeks later, it got pulled because they got loads of hassle about me playing and a few bands saying they wouldn't want to play on the same bill as me. And I was like, this is mad. It's like, I don't know who they think I am at all. It's like, I don't know what. Yeah, but it's I don't know. Sorry, I don't know what the original question was. I was a little bit
No,
lost
I don't remember as well. Doesn't
there.
matter. But the thing is, like, you know, like you said, like you don't want to be moany and stuff about it. But I mean, that's your passion, right? Like, you want to do something. That's what fulfills you in life, doing music and stuff like that. And then there are people who are stopping you from doing it, and you haven't done anything wrong apart from guilt by association, and also that association is like your missus, like, right? And the other thing is, it's like association with reality, like, so you haven't done anything wrong as well. So
No.
it is weird, and I know it's not a natural inclination to moan about things because there would be people who might be worse off and blah 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 stuff like that.
Course.
But still, from the point of view, like, they have stopped you from doing something or someone you could have been, and you know, if you think in those terms as well.
There is definitely that. I did a gig on Saturday, and I didn't. I must have promoted it enough because it ended up being quite busy. It's a tiny place, but it was quite busy. But I wanted to do like a ticketed thing, and I was going to push out and do ticket sales and all that. And then I kind of really stopped because I was just like, I don't want a whole bunch of people just shutting this all down before I've got a chance to do it. Yeah, but what was nice was to do the gig, and actually, you know, it was good. A bunch of people turned up, and everyone had a really good time. So, yeah, I don't know, really. It's just all been so weird. I can't even quite get my head around it all. Just kind of
Has it
ride it
like
out, really.
taken a hit on your love for music? Like, has it like so or love for, not for music but for performance, like, are just whatever sort of thing?
No, because it hasn't. Because no, because when I did my gig on Saturday, that was amazing. I was worried about it because it's the first time I played this year. But once I got into it and was doing my thing, I was just like totally lost in the whole world. But what it has done is it's just made me less confident of approaching people to get things, to get gigs in the first place, regardless of it's hard work. You got to before I'd be sending out contacting like, I don't know, 300 festivals to get like 12. Constantly trying to email people and go, look, I'm brilliant, let me, you know, and yeah, all that stuff. So that side of it's done. So I think I'm just going to carry on doing my thing, really.
Now, comparing the music scene and every sort of, like, not just music, comedy scene as well, and other scenes as well.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference between England and America when it comes to that. So if you were in America, you wouldn't have faced that many cancellations, or you would have faced cancellations if you were, let's say, in California, but not in Texas and those places.
Yeah.
And you would be thriving right now in America.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's so for anyone, like, you know, it would be like, oh, yeah, so why don't you go to America and stuff? It's like, yeah, easier said than done, apart from all the financial stuff anyways. But it's sort of like, it's your country, you're attached to it, you're attached to the culture, the values and traditions and stuff like that. You know, you want to do it in front of your people, not in front of, like, you know, whatever other people who don't even know you, don't even, you know, speak the same lingo in that sense, like, you know, don't have that understanding. But does that make you feel like that perhaps you would have no option but to explore that, even like for 5-10 years or something, go to America?
I don't know. We me and Bernie did a tour out there. It's a few years ago now. I can't remember what year it was, but we went out there. We was out there for 3 months. It was off the back of, I don't know. Do you heard of a band called Blind Melon? Did you ever come across?
No.
Oh, they had like a few hits like during the '90s sort of thing, and the lead singer died basically, and it was. His mum was putting on the last ever visual round. It was a mad thing. But his mum's putting his thing on for like 20 something years or whatever. So we went over to the last one for that, and we was out there for three months, and we managed to get some gigs and check out the place. Just what a mad place. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would, but I absolutely loved it. I like the idea of going over to America. I wouldn't say no. But I think at the moment I'm kind of, For me, this is like the past couple of years, it's been the first time in like a long time I've been in one place for any period of time. And it's been nice to see my, like, you know, nieces and nephews are all growing up, and it's really lovely to see them and actually get a hang out with them and all that things. I think for me, what I want to do is, like, when I go back on to touring, is to do, like, I'll go on tour for like 2 weeks or whatever, or regardless, you know, then build it up from then, rather than just being constant gig all the time. Yeah, but no,
does it feel sad, like, that you're more, the opportunities are there more in America rather than over here, where they should be more over here because there's more need over here, and the actual people who actually want to listen to you, there's actually a lot more of them than the people who don't want to listen to you because of, like, you know, whatever trans issues or whatever.
I think that probably happens. It's probably when Birdie keeps trying to point out to me how many people, the scene we were on was quite a small scene, and it was quite, you could basically go to different gigs and festivals and you see a lot of the same faces a lot. I don't know, really. I think you've just got to, I'm just kind of seeing what happens at the moment, and try and do gigs, and as I said, a bunch of people came out and see me on Saturday, and they're not the same people who would have come out and seen me before all this stuff happened. So
Do you see, like, there's a bit of that the sea is changing a little bit from what it was during the COVID times when the lockdown started till now, even when it comes to the trans issues or other things that people are like being a bit like letting go, because they have extremes within their groups which are becoming way too extreme, and other people are actually trying to distance themselves from them?
I've kind of heard different things of people distancing themselves to the people who are being a bit more like extreme with all these sort of things. But I think there's also a lot of people who don't even know any of this is happening, don't even think it is even a thing. And I don't know. I think the world is definitely a much bigger place than what I've been
copying
around. But again, with a lot of things, I remember, like, I've seen a bunch of like, when it's happened to comedians, and there's only like, I don't know, 20 people who book all the gigs. They don't like you, then you're not going to get any of the gigs. So, but I've kind
That's
of
the thing, isn't it?
recently we've met was it Jam for Freedom. We got in touch with we were playing their festival in when is that in August, and he's like well on board with all with just about free speech and people being able to thing. It's in St Albans, so it's not far from you, I think, either. So.
But that's the thing, like, you don't want to limit yourself, like, to those things, because then that becomes a thing, right?
Yeah, of course.
You
Yeah,
just
of
want to
course.
play your music, like, whatever, whoever wants to come and enjoy it. You know,
That's
it shouldn't be a requirement. Your political status, your political positions, or social position should not be a requirement for you before you can, like, play at a gig.
well, yeah, but it's just I think a lot of people got more politicalized. I don't know what it is. Just people do their things, isn't it? I don't know. I don't understand half of it, to be honest. You're like, why are you so angry? This is mental. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like the
So,
abuse Birdie gets just every day. Just it's just like, what? Yeah. We went to a family party yesterday, and my aunt asked Birdie what is it she actually does for a living, and we're like, don't.
winds people up.
Exactly. It's just why people like don't mean to. That's the thing. It never actually means to, but she kind of speaks her things. And if someone says she can't say something, she'll put it on a billboard. So yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I've seen, like, the kind of abuse she gets, like, all the time. It's sort of like just mental. It's just mental. It's like, it's more mental, like, of the people who are saying it. I feel like, what are you going through in your life? You
Yeah,
know, I hope
never
whatever you're going
spoke
through,
to
you
that
get
one.
it fixed, because, like, what the hell?
Oh no, it's yeah. I'd never speak to a stranger that way. I'd never want to go on the internet and go there. He's like, better things to do, pretty sure.
So, when you were growing up, when did you start playing the guitar?
I learned to play guitar. When my dad, I think I was 15, I learned to play piano first. That was my first thing I learned to play. I was five, I had piano lessons, and I did that for a few years, but I always struggled with it because the piano was in the lounge, and I'd be trying to make awful noises on the piano, and my brothers and sisters would be shouting at me because they're trying to telly or do their thing and stop making a racket. But when I was 15, my dad brought home some cheap guitar, and I basically nicked it and ran upstairs and taught myself how to play out of sort of phone books. And yeah, so that's I started about fat 15. I got in my first band when I was 16, 17, and we were a terrible band.
Was the name of that band?
We're called The
Just one.
Rejects.
All right.
Yeah, and
Perfect.
we ended up like having a we had a brass section at one point, and did a whole bunch of touring just out of me emailing a million people, and then basically did that for a bit, and then basically wanted to do something a bit more easier and simpler, so I started doing the acoustic stuff, and also I was trying to make it a living, so it was splitting money one way. So if I got 50 quid at a gig, that would be mine. And so and I'm like I was probably doing a minimum wage job somewhere for 50 quid, so it's kind of trying, well, I'll go do that then if I can. Yeah, and I did. Yeah, I think it was about 2005. I think first I started doing being do's and my do's and doing my solo stuff. And yeah, it has taken me to some really mad places. I've gone all over the place with it all.
When you were growing up, like, who were the musicians and stuff that you were looking up to, like, or the kind of music that you were listening
I
to?
was I was I went to a, I basically was into quite a lot of different things, a lot of guitar based stuff, but one of the bands, Carter USM, they're a band that I absolutely loved. There's a band called The Levellers, a lot of pokey punk band I really loved. I really like the Britpop stuff, really liked all that, Pulp and the Blur and Oasis stuff and all that. And then I got really into my whole punk music, like especially the American skate punk. Absolutely loved all that stuff. Yeah. And then at some point I got really into my drum and bass and that side of things, and yeah, going to festivals you kind of see a lot of mad music from all different stuff going on.
So, when did you say you started, like, play 2005, you said, like, yeah, when you tried like more acoustic and more.
Yeah, I've been nearly doozing at doozing for 20 years, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was that like a decision that you took just because you wanted to make a living out of it?
Pretty much, yeah. It was kind of because it did occur, especially in my early 20s, not so much. But at one point, it did occur to me that us writing really fast, screamy punk songs is not really going to end up on the radio or anything like that. And maybe I should try and do something that kind of might be a bit more accessible. It's not, yeah. But I've always been a pop fan and all, you know, that side of things. So, yeah, kind of.
What has your experience been like working? Or playing within a group and then on your own?
There's a lot of different sides to it. So if you're in a group, one of the wonderful things is that you turn up and you're a gang and you're there and you play the gig, and regardless if anyone's actually there, you've still got each other's back and that. And when you can play on your own, it's literally just me on my own. With like when I did the gig on Saturday, everyone was talking, obviously, and I'm trying to play my acoustic guitar and trying to get everyone eventually. But it's really daunting when you got a band. It's like, can't hear nothing, it's so loud. But the other side of it all is like, if I'm on my own and someone says, do you want to do a gig, I go yes. If you have to,
you don't have to check with anything.
Well, it's herding cats when you're working with musicians. Just trying to get all these people together. Well, I was going to say, actually, the gig that made me want to do my acoustic thing on my own, because I had a tour van and I was taking bands on tour, and I went on tour with this band, and it was like for 30 dates we did all up and down the country, and there was one gig where the other support band, because I was driving the support band, one of the support bands, and one of the support bands had to go and do a radio show or something, so they weren't there, so it was a gap, and I just kind of went, can I do a gig? And I ended up being like a sold out room, and I got everyone singing along. And I just thought, well, I should probably just do this then. And it was really good though.
I mean, that like it sounds so much fun, you know, doing it like that as well. So, like, what out of your own music, right? What would you say, like, it's something? The most meaningful piece of music that you've written?
Oh, that is... I don't know the answer to that, because I had... meaningful, yeah.
It's not your most favourite. It doesn't have to be...
Yeah, it's different. I've got a song called I Don't Want to Go Home. And I wrote that around a campfire somewhere in Eastern Germany about 7 o'clock in the morning, the sun was just coming up and just everyone's having a brilliant time. So I just started singing this I Don't Want to Go Home chorus. And because that song's about wanting to stay in the moment and stay at the whatever it is you're at and not having to deal with real life and all that stuff. And as soon as I started playing it, it kind of had a thing going on. And then I think it was a Volkswagen show. I played this Volkswagen show. And then the following year, this woman came up to me and she said, oh, do you know your I Don't Want to Go Home song with the, you know, let's give up everything and go live in a van is the first line. And she said, yeah, I went and did that. And I went, what? What are you on about? And she went, yeah, I actually went and did that. I've kind of had the most craziest year I've ever had. And it's got me to, I've been doing this. Thank you so much. And I was like, oh, so I thought, well, if she can do it. So we ended up doing it as well. And it really... Wow. I don't know. It had a nice. It's a song I can never quite get recorded properly because the emotion with the singing when everyone's having a nice time and everyone's belting out "I Don't Want to Go Home" together is amazing. I can never quite get it recorded to have the same thing, because when you're singing it, it sounds sad because you're missing the thing that you just come away from. But that's been like that song really did carry it. Like the t-shirt, just having the t-shirts with "I Don't Want to Go Home" on it, selling them at festivals, kind of kept us on the road for years. But yeah, but meaningful songs. Most of my songs, it's all about stuff that's going on in my head. I've kind of crammed it in. Well, I've written a lot.
I think so. Like the reason why I was asking was like the most meaningful song is something that other people find meaning from as well, more than you might find meaning from. Like, but it has come from somewhere unexplained in you. It's sort of like which I find like in writing poetry as well, like sometimes these things come out and you write them down, but you haven't explored those emotions. So you're amazed as well yourself that you've written something of that thought.
I'm like that with everything. I've written, like, literally written hundreds of songs, but every time you kind of listen back to something, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Did I come up with that? That's that. Yeah. It's a mad one. Because I had another one, which is it's a title track to one of my albums, and it's called "Not Going Back to That." And it's all about, you know, I kind of was at the point where nope, going to keep going with the music. And it was about two years into being on the road with Birdie, and that song's been a bit of a mad one because it's just about, you know, just kind of wanted to push forward. But at the same time, I played it a few times, and there was this guy who I know he was ex-military, so he'd seen some terrible, terrible things, and he was singing that back at me so loudly, and it's like he's singing about completely different to what I'm talking about. Yeah, it was just magic stuff. All that stuff.
It's resonating with that guy, and that's the beauty of. I guess that's the beauty of playing live music, isn't it? Like, or just recording it is just not the same.
It's just a different thing. It's just, I mean, I've got my little studio set up here now, and like, it's been amazing to explore sounds and try and work in different things, and that side of things has been brilliant. But the live connection and that it's the instant connection we get with people, because it's like sound actually like changes the shape of things. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen, if you put like, you have a drum and you put some sand on it and you play different notes, the sand will go to the same shape every time.
Yeah.
But you literally change your molecules and moving. I don't know. I find it, it's a fascinating thing. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, that's really good. Cause I mean, I don't want to go home. Like, I've listened to it a lot of times as well.
Oh, cool.
You know, cause it's something that I couldn't remember, like when I was just playing around with some of your music, I was like, I'll make a video and stuff like that. I picked up Dreams like Dreams, but it seemed easier for me to imagine it,
right? Okay.
And I don't want to go home. It's sort of like, it's so, there's so much raw emotions in there,
yeah,
that I just couldn't figure out, like, how would I, like, this is not something for me to portray. It's something for the person who have sang it, like, they need to come from them, every sort of vision from them. Yeah, but you have that thing, like, a lot of your music as well. Like, it doesn't come off, like, as, like, really polished, which I don't mean in a derogatory way, but, like, that's the best feel of it, because, you know, it doesn't seem like you have been, you know, charred by mainstream, you know, and been polished and stuff to say the notes in the right way and say the same thing to get the attention. It's very much raw, and it comes in your voice as well, like when you're speaking or when you're singing. And that is what connects with that is something that mainstream, like these record labels and stuff, seem to forget. Like, not all of us like that Beyonce and, like, you know, Barbie sort of, like, you know, like, so much worked on music and stuff.
Yeah.
People like the raw feeling of someone's expressing their emotions.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just, I think it's just a real thing, because I did a duo with another guy for a bit, and we both realized, like, we both did it. We both never played the same song the same twice ever. It was always something different. That is one thing about playing on your own. You can get a bit lost in, like, oh, I'm gonna do something completely different and just try and do different things. It's because I think that's a big part of me, because I've always struggled with the recording side, because, like, gigging side, I kind of, it's just that reaction, and that's what that works. Yeah,
I mean, because it's hard to get the same emotions when you're recording on your own.
Well, you're having got the, I don't know, I've always seen the audience as basically the rest of the band. It's like, they are the rest of the band, and everyone can, you know, come and join in.
Yeah, I mean, I had that issue because, like, like at a young age when everyone is in a band, right? Everyone was in a band. So yeah. I was in a band as well.
Oh, wait.
I was into thrash metal and new metal and stuff. So, and I was a vocalist. So, you know, I was the one screaming at the mic and stuff like that. But I could never record it, like, because other people asked, like, oh, can you record these vocals? This is music for us. Can you record it for us? And I was at home just screaming at the mic. I was like, I can't even get my scream. Like, I can't even get it out. Because, you know, it's like, what am I? Like, I don't have any emotions. It comes with emotions, seeing other people and having that band behind you and stuff like that.
That's what break everything up, and noise in your ears. And yeah.
So it's very hard. Like, I know, like, obviously other people who record it, like brilliant bands and stuff like that, they are able to do it. But I just don't know how they do it. Like, probably they do it because the whole band is there and stuff. But just so hard for... So that's why I think it's even harder for someone like you who is just have to record it on their own sort of a thing.
Yeah, because I've done some recording with a producer just before lockdowns and stuff like that we started. And it was, the whole process was a bit mad. It was all like, he was trying to do it as cheaply as he could for me. So it was all like through the night in between when other bands were actually paying to get it and all that stuff, early mornings. Like, and it was only, both of us were touring quite a lot of the time as well. So it was kind of really was crammed in. But he done really well because he just, I think that chaos kind of was a good recording. Yeah, I've just released the FU dance on Friday. No, I don't. There's two versions. There's an acoustic version and a full band version of it released. And the recordings I've done with him were really good. So I've been sitting on this album because I didn't want to just chuck it out when all the people I think would have bought it don't want to be able to do me anymore. Yeah. So I'm kind of just started building up. I'm going to be releasing a bunch of tracks one at a time.
Yeah. I mean, it's good song because I've heard it as well. So, you know, you should, you know, I want you to release more and more of your music, but I also want like people to support you, obviously, because otherwise, why would you, you know, because that thing goes away from someone, like when the support is not there, especially with music, especially with someone like you who actually thrive more on the gigging element of the music rather than anything, that human connection. It's, you know, because these experiences can make you very, very, very cynical, and it can make you go back in your own cocoon sort of inside of you, and then the music will not come.
Of course. I felt like the past few years, that's a pretty good description of what I've been doing. I've kind of feel like hid away and just kind of head down and just getting on with just, you know, trying to keep roof over the head and food in the belly and all that side of stuff. But
that's not what life is about as all.
No. But on the same point though, I kind of thought that maybe, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. But every time I've done a gig, I was like, this is brilliant. And then this is brilliant. I should do this more then. So, just got to keep on, really.
Yeah. And I would just hope, like, you know, everyone around gains their sense back before it's too late. That's what we can hope.
I think some people have made up their mind, but I just let them do their thing. I can't really, you know, I can't change their mind. I can't do this. So it's like, just do their thing.
I'll
do
I think, like, from these experiences, a lot of people have realized that it's not just the music thing, it's the comedy thing as well. And that's why we've seen different venues of comedies popping up now within England and stuff. Like, it's not good for these centralized places to hold everything for us, like the media, like how it's just BBC holding everything, because they can then control the narrative. The Fringe being the only place for comedy, you know, that they are holding the speech and, you know, how you can do comedy and stuff.
I
think so. More and more people have realized that we need these independent ventures to give voice to different sort of people.
I think so, because we're just saying that we got me and Birdie have both been booked for a place called the Barnyard Comedy Club in July or June, I can't remember. But it feels a bit weird. It's like, well, I'm not a comedian and Birdie's not a comedian, but we've both been booked. She's going to do a talk and I'm going to do like a gig, and then they've got a couple of other comedians there and stuff. But the guy who's running that is very much pro, you know, letting people talk. And it's even like that they opened up the venue 2 hours before so people can actually talk to each other. Yeah.
And you will get that feeling sort of back that you can trust people and stuff, or they, you know, make you a bit more open to actually certain kind of people at least.
Yeah, no, I've always been open to talk to anyone really, and I have chatted to like people from all over different walks of life. That's what happens when you involve with doing art and music and stuff. You do end up being in all the different places. You kind of look around, go.
Do you feel like that's the positive element that is coming through? Because I feel frustrated that this has to happen, but at the same time excited because we are venturing into something new, where eventually, like, the new media is emerging more and more now out of this podcasting business, but into the, it's now coming out of the digital into the real world, and they are manifesting themselves properly because they have the backing or whatever. They're creating different venues and how we can organize ourselves more. Yeah. How can we be more independent? It is exciting. It is. People like you are going to be at the forefront of this new sort of paradigm as well.
Possibly, especially with Birdie. She's definitely doing her thing, and But yeah, I think there is more people who kind of fed up of feeling like they've been like shut up and stuff, and not allowed to say certain things. But they're not terrible people either. That's the bit of those. It's like, because we did played a gig for Graham Linnan, and did he does the mess we're in. He'd done like a live version down the 100 Club in London. Mm. And I played there, and considering this is like what a lot of those like people, I had some old friends like really kick off at me for doing that gig. I was like, terrible, you took money from him and everything. It always comes down to money.
Working for the devil.
So, what? I met there, they all felt like I don't like to lump people together, but they all felt like exactly the same sort of people that I played to at festivals and stuff. It felt like the same people with the same sort of open-minded, or at least come across and think they're open-minded stuff.
But that gives this is what gives hope as well. Like, because when I went to the Turning Point event recently as well, and I spoke over there, with people, and that's what opened my eyes up. Like, it's the same sort of people that were before, within the left's pocket, right? Because it's not, they're not left or right majority of the people. They're just like pro. Let me do whatever the hell I want to do people. And those are our kind of people. Like, if you want to, if you want to love Jesus, go love Jesus, like, and let me love whoever I want to love, sort of a thing, like, but at the same time understand reality, because those were the people who it's not as if they had to make an effort to understand reality. Reality was thrown at them day in and day after, right? So these were the working class people. They had to deal with the realities of the world.
They
couldn't live in the, and they went to these gigs and stuff like that to escape from that reality. But it's not as if like they were not connected to reality. That's what's missing now. Is there comes these people who are just not even living at reality, and I don't know, like, they're not even escaping to it. Right?
No, they
don't have an escapism.
Yeah, they're in some sort of idea that doesn't, and then you get upset because someone doesn't see your idea as a real thing. And it's,
and that's what we can't laugh at things, and we can't, escape properly. Because escape before used to be like, or you could go read Lord of the Rings, you could go watch a movie, you could go listen to music. And it had nothing to do with politics or anything. It might have like undertones of things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can ignore if you don't want, like, if you're not into it, but you can still have a good time.
I think that's the point of it.
The reality sucks, actually. Reality is there. That's why I hate reasserting reality, because reality fucking sucks. But you have to deal with it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and it used to be an escape, but That's the exciting thing that I can see within England. I hope like more and more people like are picking up on this, that we can't be dependent on multi organizations. We can't be dependent on like government and stuff. COVID should show people that.
Yeah, I've kind of always been a bit. Well, you know, we kind of live. The only way to describe it was in the van. I think we knew people who were completely out of like. Mm. The system, but we always had one foot in, one foot out, sort of thing, which kind of made it look like as much as we could on paper that we actually were real people. But that was when we first tried to rent this place and realizing, like, you know, we hadn't had a proper address for like 7 years, and it's like, what sort of people who haven't had an address for a long time? It's like people have been in prison. That's it. It's like, I'm not in prison.
But I don't know. That's our more like base thing of how we used to be, the humans. You know, not connected to one place like that. No, you connected to the country, the nation, and stuff, and the people around it.
Yeah.
But you know, being more flexible, because at least for some people, so that your spirit can be more flexible, your soul can be more flexible to, you know, explore things.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but it's been great chatting with you.
It's been lovely. Cheers.
I just think like this is a good moment to end on a higher note, and also to give people like that good feeling as well. Like, you know, from every bad things that happens during time, there's something good comes out of it because eventually you find ways.
Because it can feel, I mean, I know this one, like, for personal things, like, it can feel like there's nothing good, it's just all gone, but it's not, because every time there's something really bad, like, where one door shuts, another door opens, and it's okay, I'll go over there, then we go do something else, keep on keeping on, isn't it, really,
And that's the thing, like, even though the situation, social situation and stuff might seem like, oh, everyone is coming down on us and, you know, the wokeness becoming too much and much and much, but it's also good that it's out there in the open so people can see what it is for what it is.
Yeah, of course.
And then we can take appropriate actions, how to make ourselves more independent from it and not be away from the control of other people. So, you know, from anything bad, you know, good can come out of it. So that's a message that people should take.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'll put all your links in the description below and wherever I can and stuff. And I really want people to go to listen to your music, because I, you know what, like, I stopped listening to music for a while.
Oh, okay.
You know, because of all of the past 2-3 years, you know, I just stopped listening to particular bands and stuff like that, because everyone was like, you know, a lot of them were American bands and stuff, or being against Trump is bad, or like this and that.
Yeah, it's happened with a lot of bands.
Politics. Yeah,
I mean, you kind of want that. You kind of want bands to have that political edge, but it's at the same point, you're just making this it's for football teams, isn't it? It's just like,
exactly, and it just made it into like plastic. Everything was like so fake. Right, and the difference that I started feeling, then I started listening to like more indie stuff, and the difference was, as well, at the same time, I've stopped watching Premier League, right, because they become fake as well and stuff, and I stopped supporting my team. I used to support Liverpool. I was like, you know, guys, go fuck yourself. You're always bashing the English anthem and stuff like that, the national anthem. Right. It's like my relevance with England. Is like England, not like really Liverpool as such. So I don't know your grievances. You might have your grievances, but this is the national anthem. Stop bashing that.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a hypocritical as well, like, because people say, oh, they're communists and Marxists and stuff, and then you're supporting a club that is like billions of pounds, you know, that is spending, and you want them to, get Messi, get Neymar. It's like, fucking hell, like, you have cognitive dissonance going on, you know.
I think there's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah, and that's what I felt like when I started watching, just going down to watch my non-league team, like here in Malden and stuff, every now and then. that's what you feel at the end. Oh, this is what football was about, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I started feeling when listening to indie music. It was like, this is what music was supposed to be about.
Gotcha.
Not all these bands that have come up which are so polished and stuff. They're good. They're doing really good stuff. But that's not what music was supposed to be about.
No, of course. Have you noticed, I don't know if you noticed, but do you know the auto-tuning of vocals has actually led to people singing like they've been auto-tuned? Like people learn to sing like a robot. It's a bit. I mean, it's fun to play. It's fun to play with, but at the same point, it's like, wow, it's like
what are you doing?
Yeah, trying to emulate the effect that people used to. I was mad.
Yeah, and you know, like I know I was going to end the episode, but let's go to diversion. Who's that name of that guy? I just completely forgot, the one who just had a very huge hit in America. The folk country music that he had, like he went on Joe Rogan as well.
I don't know his name.
You know that music that he had, like, you know, that song and stuff like that. And it's a rawness of that song and stuff. That's what brought me back, sort of in a way.
That's good.
Back to music.
Yeah, because it can be magic. It's just
Yeah. Because like it doesn't matter like what someone's politics or what someone's thing is. It's just like I feel something real.
Yeah,
like, that's what you want to feel. And when I started seeing these, even bands like Machine Head, right? So growing up, Machine Head was my most favorite metal band.
Yeah,
thrash metal and new metal band. I even had like the lyrics of one of their songs like written on my wall. I wrote it myself on my bedroom wall, which my mom didn't really like.
I had a wall covered in lyrics.
You know, I wrote it myself, and so that's how much I loved them. And when I saw them during the Trump times and during the lockdown times, them wearing masks and you know, promoting people for lockdown and for vaccines and such, like, guys, you were metal, you were punk at your core, like, you know.
Yeah.
People like, why are you shilling for the man? This is what, like, you know, just destroyed my love for all of these bands. Like, you were all fucking plastic. You were all fake. You know, you were standing up for these things, but at the core of it, like, you're just like, yeah, I'm going to agree to whatever the man is saying.
Yeah.
You know, rage against the machine became rage for the man, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the whole thing. I agree to most of it because of... Well, Birdie's like, got a million things wrong with her. So yeah, so we had to stay away and frighten us of it all. Yeah, feels a bit weird now looking back at it all. We just like, I saw a picture of someone posted up of a family, and there's a family wearing a massive plastic sheet over their head and cuddling their gran on the outside. It's like, yeah, it's a bit mad.
Yeah, no matter the. The dangers or whatever stuff like that, it dehumanized us, right? Because it took us from and that is what I was against. I was like, I don't care about the data and stuff like that, which I was more aware of because of my work, which I can't reveal, stuff like that, or the effects and not the effects of vaccine and stuff. I was more aware of it, but I was like, it doesn't matter, like, even if it hurts one person or it doesn't hurt anyone, the vaccine or whatever the log, it's a personal freedom, sort of a choice, sort of a thing. That person needs to have the choice, and you can't take that away, because once you start taking that away, you start dehumanizing us.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, isn't it?
But you saw people's true faces, a lot of people's true faces at that time. It's like, what do people actually value, safety or freedom? And it became pretty clear. And that's when, within the music industry, especially the punk and the metal music industry, I was like, wow, like, you guys were supposed to be,
you know, against the man.
Wow. Right. Yeah. But it shows you like how much money corrupts people, because, you know, once you go into mainstream, that's what becomes of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as we were going to end it on a positive note, so I'm just going to turn this around to positive. It's like, this is the reason why people need to come back to, you know, the indie scene is growing up. And not just like in music as well, like in the fiction and in the fantasy book industry as well.
Right.
Author industry, a lot of people are going towards indie as well. And they're creating amazing things within the indie scene.
It's a lot more. I don't know, it's a weird one. What I've always found fascinating with the internet and because when I first started playing bands, I was literally recording the demo on a cassette and then trying to give that out, and then like MySpace stuff and all the things that happened. It's amazing because everyone in the world has full access to and give their whole message and music in full Technicolor to the entire world. But yeah. It's all completely terrible because everyone's got the full access to give their own message and everything in full Technicolor to the world.
Yeah, but like, you know, the consensus start, you know, forming anyways, like, you know, the best, the cream rises to the top sort of a thing, even within the indie world, and people can see it like I said, like within the authoring world as well, people writing books and stuff. There are a lot of people who write within the indie world, write books that you don't want to read because it's not edited properly and gives a bad name and stuff. But there's a lot now who are coming up, who are going through the proper routes, like getting a proper editor, spending time with their cover, book covers and stuff like that. So yeah, they are polishing their work. Yeah, it's pushing them more because there's more accessibility and more people. It's not just the accessibility because it was always there. It's more people are turning away from the mainstream. So they are giving them more support.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right on that one.
Right, and the more that happens with the new media, and so we see it all the time. Our BBC would not stand if it weren't for our you know, fees, the TV license fee, like that
it'd
we
be
pay.
Gone, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be gone.
Yeah, because nobody's watching it as much. So, no. Yeah, I mean, this is, for me, it's positive. It's sort of like, well, if you want to remain mainstream, you got to work on yourself. Yeah. But at the same time, people have spoken. They want more of the rawness back. They don't want the. They don't like the polished stuff. That we seem to think they like the rawness, they like the emotions, because they can relate to it, you know, it's something achievable for them as well, you know, sort of thing. So that's a positive note, that we'll end the conversation on.
That's a good one.
As before, like all the links will be in the description below and everywhere, wherever I can find to put them, because I really like his music and I really want people to go see that. And thank you for coming on.
Cheers, thanks for having me.